Okay, what I'd like to tell you about today is the work we have done in the last half year or so on the 2D whole gas system. And this is my collaborator. This is basically the work of a graduate student, Shane Dautz, and Bill Shaw from Cornell is the one who assessed on this sample for the study. Now, let me first tell you the motivation for our study. This is basically the motivation. It's related to the zero magnetic field metal to insulate transition. And for the last few years, a lot of us were fascinated by the phenomenon of a metal to insulate transition discovered in silicon MOSFET by Kovchenko et al. 94. And you have heard a lot about this. And the problem is the following. For us, doing 2D electron gas in gallium arsenide, aluminum gallium arsenide halo structure, which is one of the most commonly used system, we simply don't see that kind of thing. We don't see the metal to insulate transition. Now, the question naturally asks is why? Well, everybody will tell you, say, in your system, the IS, which measures the strength of cooling interaction to Fermi energy, is so small. So it's basically a non-Fermi liquid system. Now, when you have a system of silicon MOSFET, IS is much larger, and so you basically have a Fermi liquid system, a non-Fermi liquid system. Now, you really have to treat the problem differently. And so we would like to do the following. We would like to, say, find another experiment system other than silicon MOSFET. And you have pretty much the same parameters as a silicon MOSFET, and you see what's going to happen, whether the interaction does play the role or not. Well, two recent experiments were heading towards that direction. The first experiment was the collaboration between Weizmann Institute group and the Princeton group. And basically, they utilize a two-dimensional Hall system. It's a P-type gallium arsenide system. And in that system, they also see evidence, looks like, very much similar to what's been seen in the silicon MOSFET system. You can see from this view graph here, this is a zero magnetic field of product resistivity as a function of temperature. And at a lower carrier concentration, this P is the carrier area density in per square centimeter. And now you can see at this very low carrier concentration, and these curves, it just goes up as you lower the temperature, and this gives you a signature of being going to insulating phase. But to be different, in the high density regime, and you can see this curve curving down, and the sum of the curve curving down initially, then start to saturate. And there's no sign of this curving going back up again and to the temperature, the lowest temperature then can go. So therefore, they conclude this is much like a metal to insulate transition. Now, there's another group from Cambridge, Mike Pepper's group in Cambridge, have done a similar kind of experiment. Now, the difference between this and the previous field graph is the following. You see the resistivity as a function of temperature in so-called the metallic phase, the temperature becomes very, very weak. It does not go down as much as the one I showed you earlier from the Princeton-Weizmann group. But nevertheless, it saturates such that the curve would never go back up again, and which would be the sign of localization. So then, the question is, looks like it suggests from these experiments, there are delocalized states in this two-dimensional system at a zero magnetic field. Okay, here's what my talk about. My talk would like to do the following. I would like to make a comparisons between the 2D whole gas. In that case, it's the system I'm studying, and to the early known results of the 2D electron gas system. And I would like to call the 2D electron gas system being ordinary, because much we already know, and the 2D whole gas system we were going to use for comparison, I call these phenomena as anomalous. Now the structure is pretty much like a conventional halo structure, except now you have, instead of silicon donors, now you put a beryllium acceptors. And this is a gallium arsenide layer where the 2D whole gas lives. And there's a space that separates this buffer layer and the actual place you put a donut in. Therefore, you just remove dope this and reduce the potential slightly due to that. And you can see some of these brilliant acceptors get ionized and transfer into this triangular well in the valence band now, because this is the whole system. Now the Fermi level is above this place here, and this is where the 2D whole gas is located. And we also have a metallic gate, and the metallic gate has a potential of VG different from the Fermi level, and therefore by tuning this voltage, you can control the density continuously in this sample. Now, the mobility in system like this is not very high. First of all, the whole system is very heavy. The whole is heavy, much heavier, by 8 times heavier than the electron gas system. And second of all, you can see in the structure here, the space is relatively small. It's 200 angstrom or so. The reason is we really like to start with a very high density. Then you really have to dope a lot and put this very close to the interface. So, but in any case, as far as mobility is concerned, this in comparison to the silicon system typically is 30,000. So this is not, hopefully it's not a problem. The mobility is not high, it's a million and so on and so forth. And the carrier concentration, we change in the system from 5×10 to the 10th to 5×10 to the 11th. Now, it's important to mention there are two major differences between this system and the conventional 2D electron system. First of all, the Coulomb energy is about the same. And this is governed by basically interparticle spacing. And it varies from 55 degrees to 150 degrees or so. And the Fermi energy, however, in this system is much smaller. The kinetic energy is quenched because of heavy effective mass by effect of A higher than the mass of the electron system. So in turn, RS, this is the ratio of the potential energy to the kinetic energy, and it's roughly varies from 5 to 17 in our system. And so therefore, we are in the regime, and RS is not very, very small. So that's the starting point. However, besides this large RS, there's another complication. Just like the silicon system, very, very similar. This is, even in zero magnetic field, there's a large spin split. Okay, this large spin split is from half electron volt to 1 mV. Now, the origin for that, because it's rather important, and when you consider the spin point to the experiment results, so I would like to just spend a few minutes on that. And in the valence band, the structure is normally pretty complicated. And you, because there are three orientational p orbits, so you basically at k equals 0, you start off a 6-fold degeneracy at k equals 0. And then, because in bulk gallium arsenide crystal, because the crystal is non-cubical, and there's a spin split off. The spin split off splits these into these two bands. One band was a 4-fold degeneracy, and the other one was a 2. And the distance between them, the energy difference is about 80 millielectron volt, quite large. One for J equals 3/2, other one J equals 1/2. Now, this is a bulk gallium arsenide. When you have heterostructure, you change the structure, and in Z direction, there's a stress. The stress further splits into what's so-called a heavy hole and light hole. So this makes it even more complicated. Now, this branch is MJ equals plus minus 3/2. This branch, MJ plus minus 1/2. That's the light hole, that's the heavy hole. And their spacing is about 15 millielectron volts or so. Now, these guys are double degenerate. But because of the lack of inversion symmetry, let's say you have a quantum well, not square, not perfect square, but it's triangular well, that gives you additional field. This additional field will split off this lift up degeneracy at a k not equals 0 and into two different bands, and which is MJ equals 3/2, MJ equals minus 3/2. Now, if I have to consider all these things, that's a really complex system. It's impossible to deal with. Fortunately enough, the spacing between them are really large. The Fermi level in our system here, practically here. So you can see there are only two subbands are occupied for the MJF plus 3/2, MJF minus 3/2. So these are the subbands we're studying. But you see, from this, you have clear spring split, even at a zero magnet field. Now, this is just typical trace of this kind of two-dimensional Hall system, and take a scan at a given density, given total density, as a function of magnetic field, and you see these oscillations. This is the picture I showed you earlier. Basically, we have two subbands occupied, one plus, other one minus, so we can call, if I wish, spin up and spin down. Now you see, we can, following the procedure used a long time ago by Stromer et al. And Eisenstein et al. Way back in 83-84, and you can actually look at periodicity in Scherbakov de Haas oscillations. There are actually two sequences due to these two spin split bands, and you can see there are two different slopes. And I won't go into the details, but if you do the analysis, follow their procedures, you basically get two different densities. For the spin down state, you have, in this case, 1.6 times 10 to 11 per square centimeter, and for the spin up state, 4 times 10 to 11 per square centimeter. Now, there's one point I would like to make clear here, and there's some papers, people study Hall's talking about two different Fermi energies. I think this is nonsense. This is just, there's only one Fermi energy all the time. There's one chemical potential. Basically, you have a chemical potential even before any splitting, just given by the band mass. So in non-interacting electron model, the Fermi energy is basically given by this expression. And in the case of splitting, you still have the same energy. And the same energy now, you just have to have different mass. And in this case, M plus, and other one, M minus. In this case, the mass would be light one, 0.28 M, other one is 0.7 M. But this is, of course, depend on the density and the magnetic field, so on and so forth. But one thing is not, is the Fermi energy, which is basically given by this 0.49. Now you have the Fermi energy. As you have a total density fixed, the Fermi energy is therefore fixed. Okay? Now, it's not considered here, and it may, and mixing stuff like that, I don't know the consequence. Okay, here's our experiment. First part, we'd like to ask the following question. This question, I think Kochenko been asked probably 100 times. Every time he gives a talk, people always ask, say, how do you know? When you lower the temperature, your resistivity won't go back up again. So in the thermodynamic limit, namely zero temperature and infinite size of sample, how do you know your sample won't be localized? Okay, this is a fair question. And we would like to ask this question, see if we can answer. And now, of course, the criteria being used so far to determine what's metal, what's insulator, is just basically use the temperature coefficient. So it's basically d rho dt. Okay? In the insulating phase, resistivity goes up as you lower the temperature. So when you see less than zero, as temperature goes to zero, you say it's insulator. Or this coefficient, if it's greater than zero or equal to zero, that means it's a metal. That's a simple determination. Quite effective, but it's got a problem. The problem is quite often the temperature determinants at low temperatures are so weak, as you see from a couple of previous view graphs. And so we really cannot guarantee this won't turn around at the lower temperatures. What we do, slightly different, but it's a different approach. The different approach is we would like to study the evolution of the delocalized states in high magnetic field as you goes towards zero magnetic field. Then ask the question, do you really have delocalized states at a zero field in infinite large sample limit? Okay. Now, this we have been used before for studying two-dimensional electron gas system. Let me just quickly summarize. You have seen this kind of view graph on Sunday's talk. And this is what's so-called the levitation of delocalized states. And for this is an assumption. If you do not have delocalized states at a zero magnetic field, this is a non-interacting electron picture. If you lower the magnetic field, delocalized states, we all know, at high magnetic fields, staying around with the Landau levels. and center around the landlord levels, and where these bureaucratic states go. According to the argument of Laughlin Kaminsky, they won't vanish, but they will go up in energy. They will go up not only in energy, passing through Fermi C and goes up into infinity. And by doing so, you can see so-called floating, which is, we initially saw this kind of thing in electron system. Now, how do you determine delocalized state's position? Well, it's determined whether they float or not. Well, turns out it's pretty simple. You have three phases in this problem here. You have insulating phase, which you will have infinite resistivity. And you have quantum Hall liquid phase, which is dissipationless. Your Fermi level, when you have swept the magnetic field, fixed the Fermi level, you see what happened is you can always cross the delocalized states twice. Once here at the low field, other times at the high magnetic field. Now, the thing is the following. These two points are very easy to determine. Simply look at this factor here. In this space, zero resistance, zero temperature. This space, infinite resistance, zero temperature. And in between, has to be temperature independent. So this is a true metallic point in the magnetic field. Now, for the electron system, you can see there actually are these so-called crossing points. And by doing finite temperature experiment, you see these crossing points. Now, I have to mention, these crossing points, as you push the system to lower and lower magnetic fields, these crossing points won't be well defined anymore. That's due to finite temperature effect. I just have to stop right there. If I don't, then I end up with the same problem of finite size. So all I'm doing here is I have to keep track of these positions as far as I can, and for the base temperature I have, and just stop the place I have. Okay, so that's the limitation in this method. And now you see, for the electron system, for IS, which varies from 0.7 to 1.7, you can see these delocalized states position pretty much follow the Landau levels at high magnetic fields, and then start to deviate. Not only deviate, changes direction, it goes up. So this is evidence we took as floating, and this is plotting density of magnetic field. This density is here, it's proportional to the chemical potential in somewhat complex way. And so this is the evidence of floating in electron system. Now, see, in the whole system, you cannot have these things float up. If it just floats up, they will vanish. There will be no extended states. Delocalized states at 0B. Now, this is what I have done on the 2D whole gas system. Look at the 2D whole gas. Much the same. You follow these Landau levels and start to have deviation at the low field, but it deviates and also lifts up. But now the difference is here, it starts to level off. Now, I couldn't proceed because the peak started to smear out. I am getting problem. So I just have to use my imagination, see what's going on. And see if I use extrapolation, I would say that we'll hit that to finite density. But of course, it's conceivable. At a lower magnetic field, something happened, dramatically happened. If that's the case, I have nothing to say. This method is just not working. Okay, but if my imagination is right, if I can do the extrapolation, then that says at a zero magnetic field, I still have delocalized states at the Fermi C. Okay, and this is the density extrapolated from that would be pretty much about around 1 time 10 to 11th, and IS around, say, 10 or so. And namely, below that density, you get into the insulating phase. Now, let me make a fair comparison. Just plot the electron data and the whole data for the lowest Landau level, which is a matter of comparison. And you can see on the same scale, the same density, the same density range, same density scale, same magnetic field, you can see the one lifts up much higher. Now, another difference one notices is the transition from insulated in whole system, electron system is to 2, but this system is actually to 1. And this is precisely because the spin split is so important here in this system. And therefore, the spin split gap indicates spin split gap is rather large. I won't time, have time to show you the detail, but trust me, this point. This is all because of the dominance of the spin split. Now, incidentally, this has been seen in silicon MOSFET system. The group Shashkin did in 1993. This is even before the discovery of the metal insulate transition in the in silicon MOSFET. This group of people have done kind of experiment, not as exactly what we did. They just use a very rough method, just to have the conductivity. It cuts off at a value of, say, 1/10 is the E squared over H. That means the conductivity is getting low enough. They say, well, let me just call this position of delocalized states. And you can see from the silicon system, this just levels off very, very fast. But these guys didn't take this as evidence of delocalized states at 0B. Instead, they keep saying, this is the signature of levitation of extended states. So they just misinterpreted their data. Now, in the last 5 minutes, I would like to just show you something on temperature dependence of the resistivity. And you see, for the temperature dependence for this particular sample here, the temperature dependence, again, extremely weak in the so-called metallic phase. But I have to say, it's always, you take the lowest temperature, as always. If you stay the high density side, it will always, the resistivity always go down as you lower the temperature. Have not seen the place it turns back up again. Okay. Now, why the temperature dependence is so weak? It's got higher mobility than silicon MOSFET, same parameter everything. Why is it? Well, I think one thing is it has to do with the Fermi temperature. And you can see, actually, we look at the temperature dependence, the resistivity dependence at a much higher temperature. Now you see, it happens actually, all the action happens at much higher temperatures. And you see, for different densities, here's the arrows are the Fermi temperature I'm drawing here. And you can see, basically, around the Fermi temperature, the resistivity dives down, and then it starts to saturate at a much lower temperature than the Fermi temperature. And these measurements indicate that there's this really strong temperature dependence there. This is very, very unusual. For that kind of scattering time, that kind of disorder, you really don't expect it to have any temperature dependence. It's not like a Laurent Fabius high mobility sample. You can still have temperature dependence due to phonons and so on and so forth. Not anymore. This is all empirical scattering. You see the system of 2D electron gas, 3D electron gas. Practically no temperature invariance, always flat out, and curving, always curving up. That's towards the lower temperatures, 100 degrees down to basically a low temperature. Now, another surprise is that if we follow the procedure people do for zero magnetic field, and you see, I'm now doing this kind of resistivity versus gate voltage sweeping at a very high temperatures, go from 14 degrees to 44 degrees. Now you see, this curve cross too. There's a crossing point. Don't know the meaning of a crossing point. But you can see, this crossing point happened at a T much, much greater, equal to or greater than TF. Well, then it make me wonder. I mean, is this kind of thing has anything to do with quantum transition, quantum zero-point quantum transition? This is certainly in a classical regime. Maybe this is a different crossing point, but this is awfully close to what I determined from and the same sample at the low temperature just by temperature coefficient. Very, very close to this value. So I'm posing this question, whether this kind of thing is due to actual true quantum, zero-point quantum transition. Finally, I would like to spend a minute to tell you a little bit about compressibility measurement of the system. We have measured capacitance of the 2D hole gas. Basically, you have a sample, just put a contact and have a little gate on top and measure the capacitance between them. And by measuring the capacitance, you can actually extract the information of the density of states following the work of Jim Eisenstein and many other workers in this area. And this is a tricky business, but can be done. You can see the capacitance after hard work, you extract the capacitance changes as you lower the density. And the dashed line is the line you're basically getting from the geometrical part of the capacitance, which is the logic contribution in 1 over C. So therefore, there's a certain error bar. Where is this thing at? We know the geometry, but how much do we really know? This is the question. Now, if we go from the capacitance to calculate the density of states or the compressibility, plot in terms of d divided by non-interacting electron free density of states, you can see what happens as we increase the IS and this compressibility starts to decrease pretty rapidly. And we can see if you allow me to extrapolate, you can see this is going to end up vanishing at somewhere around, say, 8. Okay, IS equals 8. That's the point I get, the crossing point. That's the point I see the phase looks like from metal to insulated. So this seems to tell me the system goes into insulating phase has to do with it losing its compressibility. Okay, and I think I will stop here. Here's the summary. I've shown you evidence by tracking of delocalized states as one goes to zero magnetic field, and showing possibility of delocalized states in thermodynamic limit, strong temperature dependence in high temperature, and even a crossing point. And then I pose the question whether there's a classical phase transition here. And capacitance measurement showing vanishing density of states as you approach to the metal insulated transition. Thank you very much.
Yes. So here, if you now, where the region is the saturation region, low temperature on this block, you are pretty confident about the temperature measurement there, right? I mean, those papers, because this is completely equivalent to what Kravchenko showed us.
Right.
This is very strong temperature dependence around, you know, 1 Kelvin,
yeah.
Then around, I guess, about 100 millikelvin. He gets saturation,
yeah.
But he was not assigning any significance to the saturation. He was saying, well, he could not measure his temperature well enough, so on, even heating and so on.
Uh-huh.
I assume that in your case, that's not a problem. His saturation is real.
It's real, it's a high temperature. I mean, also I know how to measure low temperature.
Yeah, I mean,
That's right. Yeah. Right, it's just all scale with the Fermi temperature, I believe.
Now, could you please put back also the
floating thing, yeah. You want the electron or you want the hole?
Okay.
Here's the hole.
One graph.
To make a comparison. Okay. It's probably going to take me 5 minutes to find out where the.
Disorder is very different, and so on.
Yeah.
Are you saying there is some fundamental significance that one is
beating
the
orient
factor of 2
times? No, it's not the factor of 2. Let me show you. I mean, this is not zero magnetic field, you see. This is like a 2 Tesla. Now, look at this guy here, right? Now, I mean, if you just say, you can extrapolate now. Extrapolate, right? It's going to be like this here, okay? Now, for this thing, for the 2D electron gas system, if you say go ahead and extrapolate, now you see this thing, I don't know where it is.
Oh. You're killing people.
I'm kidding,
the
microphone.
The internet just crashed. So you are going to say that you think that the quality is different?
I think so, yeah.
I have a kind of general question here.
Matthew was showing the two bases, which are very, very close in space.
Right.
That should give relatively sharp surface to depend on the resolution with the interbase scattering.
That's the point I tried to make, actually. I mean, I actually bring the data here to, let me see if I can find the data now. Yeah, I think these people in silicon say the spin is not important. I think it's not true. It is that these two bands are so close, it's only about a million electron volts or so. So you do expect it to see into the subband scattering. And furthermore, we actually have evidence. You can see for a system like this, well, it's impossible to find a transparency at this point of time. Oh man, I got lucky here. You see what happened? What happened is in this system, you always see gigantic positive magneto resistance. And that shows spin orbital scattering is important. So by seeing metallic phase, it may not have anything to do with interaction. It may have just to do with spin orbital scattering, have anti-localization suppressed.
Just a very brief, because we studied that. I mean, this positive magneto resistance may come about just from the classical model of two-band transport. We have nothing to do with localization. Just the fact that you have two bands gives you this kind of
just two carriers.
Right. That will give you a Lorentzian type of magneto resistance.
Okay.
Yes, you pointed out that the coefficient is actually a two component system with two masses. One Fermi energy.
It's
one Fermi energy.
Yeah. Two density.
One Fermi level and two Fermi energy.
Right.
So there should be two RS values because there are two masses. Maybe one localizes first and the other one continues to be a member. Anything like that?
I cannot tell from my data. This is not sensitive enough to tell where's even the transition point, so I cannot.
The electrons are constantly getting scattered back and forth between these two bands, so it's hard to think of one being localized and the other being localized at the same energy. They can scatter back and forth.
I mean, when you drew your floating on the TV bowl,
yeah.
You drew a land-up band underneath.
Yeah.
That was completely simplistic. I mean, just straight line.
Yeah.
With one mass. But in fact, the band structure is extremely complicated in 2D bowl. I just wonder whether or not.
All I can say is the following, Jim. I mean, at a low magnetic field, I really cannot draw that diagram. Yes, you're right. It could be more complicated. It's only the merit of this thing is a high magnetic field. I draw this diagram, and you can see all these position, all these points fall right onto this.
I guess what I'm sort of asking, do you have any should we call the Hopper data on the example?
Yes. Yes.
Do they not show complex structure?
Definitely not complex enough. To make you want, actually, there's a person did the whole band diagram just for the two different bands, and he has shown this is Leonie in our department, and has shown the structure is differs slightly as you say the curve instead of straight line, it should at a low enough field, very low field, bends down a little bit, and even some point it will cross. And this is not the thing we're talking about here. I mean, we by the time we're getting the low enough field, already lose the sense that we're losing all these extremely half the house, everything. So we only track the lowest delocalized states here.
I suggest we continue the discussion.